So today is second in the series of 10 that I'd like to present something special and something in length about Swedenborgian's perspective. We named What Matters the Most and Rational View on Spirituality. What matters the most, it could be different for you know any individual here, but there's also a theme that is somewhat important to all of us, regardless of where you are, who you are. And one of the things is about the relationship between the founder and the religion that happened afterwards. So today's topic is about the relationship between Christ and Christianity. And a simple answer to that is Christ did not create Christianity. Just like Buddha did not create Buddhism, Confucius did not create Confucianism. Well, we're called Swedenborgians, but Swedenborg did not actually make Swedenborgianism. He just saw the visions, he published the books, people read them, they liked them. They were expelled and excommunicated from their own churches, so they created an association organization that became now Swedenborgians. Christianity somehow has little similar history. If you read ancient Roman books and historical books, there's like little comments about Christians. Like there's this interesting and strange people who call themselves Christians. And they are so atheist that they don't believe in God. They just claim to have believed in one God. How hideous. Or these Christians, they don't talk about their belief in forums and open public squares. They talk about it in bakery and hidden streets and their homes. Such secrecy. Christianity, how do you define this? I think defining Christianity is also very big job that I cannot claim to do it here in 20 minutes or 25 minutes. So let's assume that Christianity is probably collection of all that people who claim to be or believe to be Christians, what they believe, what they practice. That's a big thing. And there's not one Christianity. There never has been one Christian theology that combines them all. So, Christ, when you call Christ and when you call Christian, like let's do a little short test here. Who among you identify yourself as a Christian? Interesting, isn't it? Now, do you exactly know what that means? Yes, sir. And do you believe that what you know to be Christian is the same as the ones sitting next to you? Uh-oh. So, what we call Christian or Christian, there's a number of different ways, actually, the way we identify. And following a religion, I believe, same thing. I even have I heard an argument between actually a married couple saying that they are from two different religions. She's Lutheran and I'm Catholic. Yes. And they totally believe they're from two different religions. So, the Christ, is it a title? Is it a name? The Christ is amazingly complex concept, actually. It is different where and when you actually recite it. If you were to recite the name or that concept in ancient days, like when Moses and Aaron were alive, that simply means anointed. So meaning Aaron and his children. They're all anointed. Anointed is actually Messiah. Messiah is translated as Christos became Christ. Yet, later, there was this development of Savior, saving person, God-chosen Savior concept, which is started with probably judges. So all the judges were, in a way, are small saviors. Because when they get in trouble, God calls somebody special, and they do something special. But in this concept of messianic, do you hear about that? Messianic tradition. Something called Messiah. So when we call the Messiah, is really later development. More likely, after they lose both kingdoms, their temple was destroyed. Now, they basically are very, very humbled. They means all the Israelites. And before the temple was the symbol of their faith and also symbol of their power, because that's the presence of God who protects them. But it was destroyed, sacked by foreign power. And all the leaders were taken into a different country. After they return, in that process, there's development of this, the Messiah. The one who comes will fix everything. The one who comes will bring us to the victory and glory. The one who will come and conquer everybody else and restore our kingdom. And somewhat, I'm just really, really simplifying it, but that's somewhat the core of the messianic faith and tradition, that the one that is really chosen by God. But there's no real concept to believe that this Messiah is indeed divine. Actually, not at all. But yet, in prophecies, you hear that there is certain lines that shows that this Messiah to come is not exactly human, because a human being cannot do all that. So it's kind of prophets flowing into it. That when you come into the New Testament, John the Baptizer came in and suddenly proclaiming that I am the prophet from God. I'm a prophet from the God, not the prophet actually, a prophet. And he does these strange things and he acts like a prophet. He lived like a prophet. And that was the first prophet they had probably after 400 years or so of silence. People's hope were high. Their expectations are getting higher. Why? This is also time that those people were not called themselves Jews. Actually, meaning descendants of Judahites, the kingdom of Judah. That they're living under foreign oppression, and their king is not exactly from the line of King David. And even the priests probably are not Levites. So in a way of saying, both their kingship and the priestship are not right. And people knew that, but they can't do anything about it. So in this middle of this, this prophet came, and Jesus came. And he was not only accepting it, but actually he claimed that he is the Christ. So what does that mean in that context, the Christ, to the people? This is the Messiah then, that prophesied in the Old Testament. And what are the hopes? He will lead us into the battles. He will conquer those foreign powers. And he will rebuild the kingdom. And he will give us the glory. And what did Jesus say? Well, exactly not. I'm not here for that. That's what he said. And, you know, that. So this happens that there's a huge disappointment. Then what are you? And Jesus was saying, I'm the Son of God. I am the same as my Father. So he claims divinity. I am actually God on earth. And if you understand or know, ancient people in that area, God and human are not compatible. Especially Judaism, one of the essence is that God is way over there and humans are way down here. And there is infinite space in between that we cannot even make any contact. Now, but he's saying, I am God. I'm human too. So that Christ, what is this Christ? So if you, I want to explain all that, what happened afterward, it takes another couple of books. It's called Christology. So this concept and the role and the function of even Christ took Christians a long time to have a real good, even agreement in between them, saying, let us agree that Christ mean this, or Christ mean that. But messianic, the hope of the one who comes and fix it all for us, somewhat carried into this belief in the concept of Christ. And I believe it is still quite relevant to many of us that we pray to Jesus Christ, saying basically, fix our problems, solve our conflict, save the earth, change us. So, what is then Swedenborgian's perspective about all this? Swedenborg was definitely Christian. I think he was probably one of the most faithful Christians that I have ever known in that century, or even that whole Western world that I have found. Why am I emphasizing Christian aspect? First thing that Swedenborg emphasized is that the Jesus Christ is indeed incarnation of Creator, not a son, the Son of God sent by God. Creator came in a human world, in human form, and born of a human woman. So he totally believes in the miraculous conception. And he even insists that that has to be that way. So that half is from human part, the other half is from divine. Not trying to convince you that you have to believe that, but what this reveals us is an amazing, to me, amazing revelation and truth that God and human are compatible. God is not way up there and we're way low here. Maybe we are living together. God within us, us within God. So there is this component that could be misunderstood as somewhat anthropocentric, that humans are only important, therefore we can destroy everything on earth, or we have right to rule them. It's kind of opposite way of looking at it. Humans are created with such a power that we have much obligation and responsibility for all our decisions and actions. We could indeed bring the power to create, but also power to destroy. And second, he emphasizes about Christ as the Redeemer, but not so much as Savior. So Christ brought the redemption, but salvation is up to each one of us to cultivate. What's the difference between redemption and salvation? Anybody knows? Kind of confusing concept. Redemption, salvation, Redeemer, Savior. Redemption is, in a very simple example, if I sold myself because I have no money to feed my family, and I become a slave. My sister in Korea, she's a doctor, but she has more means. She comes here, she pays the debt, makes me a free man, and she goes back. She redeemed me. I became a free man, but I still have nothing. Therefore, I still need to get a job or work hard to feed the family. My sister came, she paid the debt, she bought me a house, she put me $1 million in the bank so I can live happily ever after. She saved me. See the difference? So, Swedenborgian or Swedenborg's perspective is that God gives power, or God helps us to come back to the balance point where we can make the decision by our own free will. When we lose that power, God helps us to gain it again. That's the redemption. But cultivating ourselves to be an angelic being or better person, God does not do that for us. We have to cultivate it. So, such as buying the ticket to heaven, there's no ticket. Yes, you have to become heaven. I believe that's what Jesus Christ was saying too. You have to become heaven to join heaven. Not that you have a ticket and then you go into heaven. So that's Redeemer and Savior. But the third thing I believe is most important, and also I believe you should know why Christianity and Christian message was so powerful to the ancient people 2,000 years ago that they actually overcame all other religion. 2,000 years ago or so ago, Christianity became popular not by missionaries. It was not the work of the great Saint Paul who actually evangelized Christianity all over the Roman Empire. It was not by any authority. They didn't have any institution that actually was doing that. It was actually by the people, the common people, the slaves, the merchants, the tradesmen, the sailors. They somehow carried the message. And they somehow felt something different about it. And that you can find in also Swedenborg's perspective on what you are. What makes you special, a human. And his emphasis comes all the way, go into the one simple thing. In a word, love. Or ability to receive and to give love. The human capacity, the human specialness dwells in it. You are a being that is totally designed to receive love and to give love. And by doing so, you should find all the delights and joys. And somehow, these ancient people, they believed something else than us. They wanted something else than us. What they wanted, what they wished to have, what they expected by joining Christianity was not exactly that. But in principle, they believed and practiced something called loving each other. Simply saying, I should love you because you are my brother in God, because you're my sister in God. And I should really love you. And they wanted something else, yes. But by living the act and life of love, you know what they felt? They felt their heart, their view of the world changed. What was suffering and pain to them didn't matter anymore. Somehow love transformed them into a different being. The world was different now. And when they have more of the same like them, the whole world changed. And soon, whole Roman Empire converted into Christianity. Well, then the bad thing happens, but the power of love. That's what exactly was Hiram Books emphasizing. In all this, God taking human form, God and human are compatible. God giving us this redemption, meaning that we should have freedom to choose what we want to love, actually, and what we don't want to love. You are fully free to choose that. Even if you are locked in the prison, nobody can really force you to like something that you don't like. Right? Same thing. Can somebody else make you to do not like something that you like? I don't think so. I mean, somebody can make me not to love my children. I really doubt it. Unless they really brainwash all my, take all my memories and I don't even remember. I don't know that. There's movies and writers saying that even your memory is taken away, love still prevails. That you somehow remember that. The most powerful force in the whole universe is love. But this is only powerful when we properly accept it and properly act it. So this word I add, properly, that there is the secret about how to receive it and how to give it. And ancient Christians and Swedenborg actually agrees on the same thing. And the nature of God that Swedenborg wants to kind of share with us. This God really enjoys joy in the other person as his or her own joy. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt that? If you're a parent or if you're a grandparent, you might probably have experienced that. Somehow, when you see your children having so much fun, you're just happy to be there. They don't need to do anything for you or to you. You don't need to do anything either. You're just so happy. So you want to create that. What about you extend it to other people? What about your neighbors? You want everybody else to be joyful and happy, and you want to do something about that. That's loving. And in that is divine presence, and in that is Christ. The love like Christ. So Swedenborgian perspective on this Christianity and Christ. I don't want to bring all the dark history about the church. I don't want to criticize about what Christians did in the past. They did what they had to do, probably, or that what they were given to do. You have power to choose what you want to do. And most important thing, emphasizing again, you have freedom to choose what you love and what you don't love. Yet, if you find yourself loving something that is not really good for you, you have power to change that too. The power happens in acknowledging. So, Christ gave message. Christianity happened. Well, Swedenborg gave us a book. We have Swedenborgianism. What does that sound like? To me, it is not so much about the founder having all the vision about how this message will become. It is about the receiving and receivers, understanding and living. So, may God bless you all in this Palm Sunday, and may God bring a good, insightful truth into your heart. You may act out your love that is in your heart. Amen. Amen.